But Lord Jesus, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight. We thank you, Lord, for bringing in those who kind of stumbled on that first fast, Lord. We thank you for bringing them in, Father. I ask, Lord, and I pray that everybody that attends tonight is trusting you and looking to you for everything, Lord. And I praise you for it, because I know, Lord, that if we don't trust you in everything, that the times are here upon us, it looks like, that we're going to have to. And if we're not doing it now, it's going to be real tough to do it when you see dead folks laying around you. And Lord, I thank you for giving us that trust and that faith, because you supply everything that we need. And I praise you, Father, that it is. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. It's going to be a night alone with you, Lord, and your people. And I praise you for a great time with each other and you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we got some mighty good news here just a few minutes ago about Denny. You know, everything started working fine. And that's good. Praise God. So just thought I'd get that in there while I had it on my mind. So prayer does work. Uh-oh. I bet that sounded good, didn't it?
What happened to Denny?
He's had some problems with his urinary tract and it's all going now, though. Praise God. We thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord. Okay, also, Austin will be here Sunday. My grandson will be here Sunday. He's already talked to Miss Barber, and she's ready for him to go to work yesterday, you know. So he's got a job waiting on him, but he's not going to start the job until Wednesday, I think. He wants to spend a couple of days with me, which is fine. And so anyway, that's my testimony. Anybody else got one? Or praise reporter would like to pray for somebody. Can y'all hear me okay? Is the audio okay? Okay, good.
You're coming through with an accent, Mike.
Have I got an accent there? Okay. Oh, I don't think I've got one. I tell you what, y'all make fun of this old language of mine, but I tell you what, I've been using it ever since I was a kid, and I ain't never had nobody have trouble finding out what I'm saying. Except Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, did you ever email?
Probably not.
Did you ever email Joe and Nora about our time change?
Did I email them?
No. Yeah.
No, I didn't. No. Maybe I can now. You got it?
Our time's changed. I don't got it, no.
I don't know if I have either, but I'll try.
Well, if anything,
I'm going to do it now.
They'll show up an hour later, maybe, is what it'll be.
Yeah.
Probably.
They'll know then, won't they?
Yep.
What time change?
Well, if you didn't know about the time change, you wouldn't be on here now. So you know about the time change.
No,
we had daylight savings time.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't have it. I don't have it on my phone. Anyway, he'll be on when he gets on. Hey, Megan.
Hey. Thank you. Forgot to record.
Okay.
It's on.
What's that?
The recording.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can't see it down there? Yeah, I'll try to turn it on. Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
I was just going to say that daylight savings time is a lie. You don't save any daylight. You get only the amount God gives you. Starts here and it ends there, and it's going to be the same no matter what they do.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, that's true. That's right. They can make us get up an hour earlier, an hour later. It's still the same, man. All right. It's always daylight out there at Tim's place, I can tell. Every day it's daylight out there. When it's dark as pitch outside, it's daylight. Gonna be that way too, ain't it, Tim? Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request or a praise report, testimony?
Hey, I got a praise report.
Okay.
I just scored two deer.
You
two
what?
Deer. I just scored two deers. I bought two deers.
Okay. Now, explain what you're talking about.
I just bought two deers.
Right, where are you going to put them?
At your house.
No, no. my freezer's full. Now, you might need to talk somebody else around.
My brother's getting them.
Okay. Oh, but we're gonna get some roast out of them, aren't we?
No, you're not going to get anything out of them.
You're going to put them in his deer pen.
Save them until we get room.
Feed them every day.
Yeah.
They're Save already them. Dead.
Uh-oh.
How many pounds did you get?
Don't know.
Okay.
But it's a deer, and it's I got it for two of them for $100. Good price.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Very good price.
Unless they weigh about 20 pounds apiece.
Yeah.
Amen. We still got some deer meat in the freezer.
Yeah, I know. But you got to be able to eat in order to
get
that freezer unloaded.
Eve said a while ago, she said, people at work want me to fast from fasting. I said, that's a good one. I like it. To fast from fasting.
Hey, why is it called a fast when it goes so slow?
Judy's got the answer. Judy's got the answer. She raised her hand. She's talking, but she's muted.
I don't have the answer. I just agree. Why do fast go so slow?
I don't know. It's because we love it.
Did you guys start another fast?
Yeah. We started another food and drink fast.
How long?
14 days. You can start any time, Dave.
You're going to go 14 days?
No, I'm just kidding you, Dave. I'm just kidding you. Just 3 days.
I was talking to the Lord about it tonight, too, because I felt like I needed to go on another fast.
What we're fasting for is there's been some people that have didn't go through the whole fast without drinking or eating. And the Lord explicitly said, no drinking or no eating. And he was quite perturbed about it, the Lord was. And he came back with the word of knowledge, those that didn't go through the fast would be, if they didn't die to their flesh, he would take over. And they died to their flesh, in their flesh. So we went and did the prayer talk, and the Lord said, well, if we would fast and pray for the next 3 days that he would show mercy on those that were that hiccups, you know. And that's what we're doing. But those that, that did that need to be on the fast too. Now we're talking about local here now. So
okay, and
I'm thinking it's for the outreach too. If you listened to the broadcast Sunday night, you would have caught that.
I was kind of thinking about going on the fast thing, as it felt like I needed to, but then after I listened to the broadcast second time, I picked up on that, but it was something I was just feeling. And even when I went through the 7-day fast, I mean, because I had to work the whole time, and a lot of us were working, so those of us that worked, it was really hard.
Yep, I can imagine.
Towards the end, like, I had to throw water in my mouth a lot just to keep my mouth.
So you could talk?
Well, yeah, I had to talk, and I there was times where I just could not, I had to have something wet in my mouth, so I was putting suckers or something in there, and I don't know if I broke the fast doing that, but not suckers, but like a lifesaver or something, just to get my mouth wet.
Yeah.
But I wasn't trying to look for food as much as I was just trying to keep my mouth wet, so yeah. I didn't, you know.
What I did, I just rinsed my mouth out. I just rinsed it out and
right.
Just suck on my tongue for an hour and a half, you know.
But and I was I didn't get a feeling like I broke the fast doing
that's
that.
That's good. But, yeah, no. Uh-uh.
But I still, it was like, it was very difficult. Very difficult.
Yeah, it was difficult, but it was necessary.
I think it would have been better if I didn't have to work. I don't know. It was tough. I don't know. Maybe Matt knew the same thing. I don't know. I know.
Well, I made it to the first day okay, because you know my body's kind of used to fasting. But
right.
The second day is where it kind of went all downhill from there.
Well,
but no, I worked the first 2 days and then I just played in for the rest because I didn't even have the strength to do it.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about it a little bit because I knew it was, you know, I didn't feel like I get the satisfied fast out of it like I wanted. You know, there was a hindrance there, you know.
Well,
I mean, I got through it, but it just felt like it didn't break through like I wanted a breakthrough.
Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was going to say, even those of us who didn't work had to press in to get through this thing, you know. So it was difficult on us.
I wasn't taking that away from you. I knew that.
No, I understand that. I know you weren't. But even today, what I was going to say is we haven't fully recovered from that other fast, and here we are on another one. So I did some work today, and I really felt it. I, at 5 o'clock, rolled around and I said, "Oh, I gotta stop. I just gotta stop. I'll finish whatever needs to be done at a later date." I have that ability. I know you don't. You gotta do what you gotta do. You know, it's your work. But it had to be an end for me.
I had the feeling I'm supposed to go on a 4-day fast. Kind of throwing the coins out there. I'm going to start today. I'm going to get off at Saturday afternoon. But I'm going to do
We're going to be picnicking Saturday. I just want to let you know. We're going to be picnicking Saturday.
And that's why I got to pass through Saturday for you guys. That's why he had me go away from Saturday.
Yeah. Amen. We appreciate it too, Dave. Man, I feel your pain.
Thank you.
Okay. No, I'll tell you what, the hardest fast that I've ever done, I thought, you know, during those 20 and 30 day fasts was bad, but I had water during those times. This 7-day fast ain't nothing like I've ever been through before, especially at the age that Leon is. Anyway, it was terrible, but, you know, the benefits that we gained from that I gained from it, I'll tell you this much, God placed a lot of love in my heart for people that I really didn't have. I had love for them, but not that agape love that the Lord placed in there for me. you know, go ahead, Leon.
I'll come back.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what he kind of did for me, and showed me a lot of humbleness and that I'm not, you know, that I have to rely on the Lord a whole lot more than I did before, because I understand that He's a man in charge, and it's not up to me anymore, it's up to God. I trust God more through this fast.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Barbara.
I'm not
is that Bruce?
Yes.
Hey, Bruce, how you doing, brother?
Oh, great. How are you doing, brother?
Oh, man, I am blessed beyond my wildest dream.
Praise the Lord. Hey, I have a couple questions. I didn't go through the fast with Barbara, and I'm not even sure how to do a fast. And I just wonder what the requirements are to do a fast and be pleasing to the Lord. And the second one is, I met a guy today, his girlfriend is a witch, and I want to know how to pray for him in his situation.
Okay, is he a part of that group?
No, he isn't. He said that she's like real mean, and he's like the calming effect to her. And the first thing I thought was about David with Saul. And I just don't know how to pray for him. I just prayed that the spirits wouldn't jump on him.
Well, the best thing to do is bind up those spirits and cast them off of her, and tell him that the only thing that can give either one of those people relief is Jesus, okay?
Amen.
So what you need to be praying for, you and Barbara need to be praying for, is their repentance and be brought to Christ. Because any kind of praying you do is just going to be temporary at best, as far as giving him some relief. So I would pray that the Lord grant repentance to this man and his wife, and whatever it takes to do it, Lord, you know better than I. And we're just going to sit back, kick back, and rest in the knowledge that you're on the job, Lord, and then trust the Lord that he's doing it. That's what you do.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, as far as fasting, the fast that we have, if you've read the word from the Lord, it said no food, no drink. That's pretty simple. That means stay away from the refrigerator and the faucet, and for 7 days. And what we do during that 7 days is pray the things that were in that thing there, and it. The first 3 days, we prayed for the local fellowship and ourselves and the people around us, you see. Uh-huh. You would pray for the people around you. And then the last 4 days was for the worldwide church, or the worldwide chosen of God. And you pray them out of, we prayed them out of the dead churches that they're in. We prayed that God would separate them from the apostate religion that they're in, and that God would teach them the truth through His Holy Spirit. And that's what I was praying. Maybe one of y'all has something else you'd like to add, Leon or Dave or Tim or Judy, Matt.
That's on target.
Yeah, Leon.
Well, I was praying against the homosexuals, the pedophiles, the lesbians that are in charge of these churches. And how can they get truth when these people are apostate to the max? They can't preach the truth because they can't tell you anything because they don't know the truth, obviously, if they're involved in this kind of stuff. That's why they're what?
They have to get out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm praying, that anybody that was an elect person would be taken out and brought out of that and get away from that stuff. And yeah. Then there's the rest of the churches with the false gospel, the false Jesus, the false doctrines, all that stuff. That people need to come out of those too. So I'll let you go with that.
Amen. And that's basically it. And it's and then what we also prayed, Bruce, is long toward the last, is that the Lord would replace moisture in our body supernaturally, replace energy in our body supernaturally, and carry us through this fast. Now, I will say this, that, you know, we think it's hard. I've read about people that have gone on, David's done a 2-week fast with no water and no food, that back when he was a whole lot younger too. I've read about a Chinese over there in China prison that did a fast for 75 days with no food nor water. So God can carry us through. The problem is right here. It's between our ears. We're from I don't want to say prosper so much as we've been blessed all of our lives with food and water and the things of the flesh that was real close to us. And that's what God's trying to get rid of. The Lord is trying to get us, get rid of the world, get rid of the flesh, and start trusting Him for everything. And that's the reason for the fast, is to get rid of Michael and Bruce and replace it with Jesus.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Okay, bud. Go ahead, Leah.
I like to say that was what the fast is that we did. But fasting in general can be pretty much anything. If you look at Daniel, he fasted of the delicacies for a couple of weeks. You know, that means that he had some food, but he didn't have the delicacies, you know. It was just natural things. And then people fast in different ways. Some people do a half-day fast. Some people do a 3-day fast. Some people do a 7-day fast. You know, you can fast on your own. You don't have to wait till one is called. Anytime you want to do it, it's fine. It's just you work it out with the Lord and you stick to what you said. That's the way you fast. You stick to what you said you would do. And then you start out slow and then increase it and then increase it some more. Maybe that'll help you too.
Yeah. All right, anybody else on fasting? The biggest thing is everybody is getting rid of the flesh. That's what God wants us to do, is just to kill the flesh. And we you know, I make fun of this fast we're on now. This one's easy. I mean, I haven't had any trouble with this one, actually. And I noticed that Leon had neither. He worked most of the day today, and David helped him, you know, a little bit. And so even though this is only our second day, we've got another day to go. Last week at this time, I can tell you, I was hurting. But now it's you know, I understand what it's for. What we're doing now is we're sacrificing for the brethren, just like Jesus did. He sacrificed on the cross for us. Now we're sacrificing for our brother and sisters. Okay, Dave?
Yeah, that's what I kind of got the feeling for. It wasn't directed directly at us. It's directed for people outside. It's for our maybe even immediate family. It's for helping it's kind of like an offering to the Lord to help for the sacrificing for their flesh, for the lust of their flesh. And what you mentioned something I thought was kind of interesting here. One of the words that I got the day after this fast from the Lord was 1 Timothy 5:23. It says, "Be no longer a drinker of water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy oft infirmities." You know,
what is that again?
First Timothy 5:23.
Okay, that's the one you sent me, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was trying to figure that one out for a while. Well, I had this you know, get in there, I started to figure out what does he mean by water and what does he mean by wine, you know, because it was not the literal sense in any way.
Well, we'd like water. To take it like that anyway, wouldn't we? You know, yeah, hey, no, Jesus says right here, go get you some wine. You don't have to drink that water, man. No, that's spiritual. Go ahead, mate.
Yeah, you know, so the water really represents the word, you know, yeah. It's our doctrine, it's how we all get into the water every day with the word, you know, we're being spiritually fed all the time with the word, but then he wanted us to really take it the next step. He wants us to use a little wine now in our life. He wants us to, and you nailed it. You said, well, you had more love for your neighbor after this fast. Well, that's what he wants us to have, is more love for our neighbor. Because that's what I was looking at, what wine denotes spiritually. It's talking about love for your neighbor and the good of the faith. I'm assuming that it's going in more of a spiritual, getting more in tune with the Holy Spirit, with our faith and everything else, and using our faith more, and then love for our neighbor. So, I mean, we got the doctrines, we got the word, but he wants us now to transform more into Jesus, you know, have that love for our neighbor, and then get that faith thing going, you know, more and more. So that's kind of where I was seeing the next phase he wants us drawing into, you know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Leah.
I was going to say the wine also represents the blood. That's what Jesus used to initiate the covenant, was the wine, you know, that represented his blood. And the scriptures say you've not shed blood yet. I forget how it goes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's talking about having sacrificed enough where you shed your blood coming from. Well, I was looking at the context of this scripture, what he gave me there, trying to figure out what he meant. But I know I agree with what you're saying.
Well, what you're saying there about love also represents the same thing, like you're saying. And if you go and love the people, then you are sacrificing the blood. So that's what I was wanting to say anyway. That's what I was getting at. So.
Amen. What does the stomach represent, spiritually speaking? I just thought I'd throw that out there.
That's the bowels.
Okay.
Okay.
Would that be like kind of your gut, who you are inside?
That's your flesh.
Love them from your bowels, your innermost bowels. You got to love them all the way.
Okay. I was trying to take it to a different direction here, but that's all right. We'll leave
Go
it
ahead.
Right
hear your direction.
Well, the stomach, it represents the flesh, doesn't it?
That's what I thought, too. Yeah.
And being the flesh, you want to get rid of the flesh. And that little wine, the Holy Spirit, helps you get rid of that flesh because he directs your steps. When you're listening to the Holy Spirit, that's the spiritual aspect of your person, isn't it? So anyway, that's you know, you've got layers and layers and layers of things in here. So
I guess if we're kicking our loving our neighbor more, we're kind of sacrificing our flesh because we're denying our flesh.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, that works for me.
And it says often infirmities, we always take infirmities, we make it into weaknesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's our weakness, our flesh is the weakness.
Yep. All right, anybody else? Anybody else on fasting and praying? Think about praying, fasting and praying is believing that when you pray that God's going to answer it. That's the key to all of it. We can pray and we can pray and we can pray. You know, just a good example. We prayed for a young lady the other night and we kept casting this demon out, kept trying to cast this demon out. I was getting tired. This was Sunday night now. This was Sunday night. My tongue was weighed about 14 tons at the time. And couldn't hardly talk. Was casting that thing out. Finally, David says, you know what? He said, let's go home. That demon's been cast out 1,400 times. He said, that demon's got to go. And we're believing it. We're leaving. We're going home. We no more got off the porch, and Mama come out there and said, that demon's gone. He left. He knew. He knew that we knew what we was talking about when we turned our backs on it and said, you gone. We're out of here. We're sleeping. We got things to eat at 12 o'clock. And we took off out of there. That's what happens. We just finally said, I ain't playing with this demon anymore. And that's the way we ought to be. Just, I'm not playing with you. I'm prayed this prayer of faith. Now, demon, yeah, it's just up to you. You got to go or God's going to just hurt you. Boy, you fixing get hurt. And just walk off and leave because you know it's done. There's two things that go together, That's faith and trust. Trust God that your faith is working. And God's the one that gives you the faith, right? Praise God. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
You said something really important there because remember when I said I was at that dealership and I prayed for this lady's back while I was there because she was having a hard time. I went and got her a chair, prayed for her back. Well, I asked her if she was Christian. Yeah, but, you know, one of these Christians that don't really believe those kind of things. I prayed for her after a couple times of casting that pain out, asked her how I was feeling, because I've seen this work too, where I'd cast something, I'd ask somebody how it felt. They says, well, it's still there and it's a little better, and I'd cast it some more and it'd go more. Well, I did that with this lady and it wasn't moving. You know, she was saying, well, thanks anyways. And I just told her, just have faith and wait. It's going to go. It's going. It's gone. We, you know, but the point was, knowing that what I just said, it has to go. It has to obey what I'm telling it to do. And I think I remember seeing Torben Sondergaard talk about that. Even though they might do something and say something, they don't see immediate reaction, doesn't mean that it's not going to work. It may be a day or two. It may be something that person has to work out in their head or whatever, but the prayer of faith has been made and the word went out and it has to obey. So it doesn't mean that we have to see instantly happen. We just know it has to work. It has to go.
Amen. You get that in your heart, you'll understand. You'll have a lot more success with your praying. You'll have a lot more success. I had to stop that mail from coming in. I guess y'all could hear it. That's what praying is all about, is just believing what you pray. You don't have to go back 1,500 times and pray it again. You know, because here's what, who was it? I think it was Wigglesworth that said, you can pray for somebody five times. He said the first four, and the fifth time they get healed, the first four times didn't work because you didn't have faith. Now, that makes sense to me. You can pray for somebody 1,500 times, and then they get on the 1,501st time, they get healed. That's because you had faith, and you did. You sat in it, you believed it, you rested in the Lord that it's done. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, if somebody comes back to me and tells me, asks me to pray for them again, I said, okay. You don't go into any. You just all you do then, you just thank God that it's already done. You praise God that it's already done, you know. And that's all you have to do. And then it's done. We've been praying for Denny, and it's done. He's healed. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? You know, I tried to send y'all a thing out for subject, and I have changed operating systems on this mic, and it's corrupted my my contact list, so I had to apologize to you for that. But we can talk about anything y'all want to talk about tonight. Has anybody got a question or a verse that you run into that we can analyze? look at info. Let me ask this question. Have y'all heard about all the plagues that have been coming up in the web lately? We got disease X, we got yellow fever, we got this one, we got that one, we got this one over here, we got another one over yonder, and every one of them is going to kill millions, according to what they're saying. And so it looks like the plague could be starting over in those third world countries. And I believe that's why the Lord had us in this fast, to believe and trust Him to bring us through it, so that when this plague does hit, we're in the Passover, right? That's what we're in. We're going to be in the Passover. We don't have to worry about it. Anybody? Yeah, Leah.
I got a question. We were talking about fasting from water before the 7-day fast, and we said that, well, if Jesus could do it, we could do it too. I can't find any place where it says Jesus fasted from water.
He fasted 40 days in the desert when he first got filled up with the Holy Spirit.
I recall that.
That was fasting from water and food. There's no water right there in the desert.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's what I take it.
Yeah. Well, it says that the devil came and tempted him with food.
Yeah.
Turn this rock into a bread, and so on and so forth. It doesn't say that he tempted him with water, anything like that. I just wondered.
I don't know.
Do you know if there is
something? The only thing I know about that place where he went in to the desert for 40 days, and he didn't carry a jug with him, far as I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
It's probably safer just to stick with Scripture, though, rather than presuming.
Right.
That's from somebody that told me that he didn't think that drink meant water. I don't know about that. Anyway. I don't know, Malcolm. All I know is that he ran to the desert and...
Yeah, John lived in the desert. John lived in the desert until his showing.
He did what?
He started baptizing him. John lived in the desert until his showing unto Israel. That was probably a good 30 years. So he probably drank water sometime during that 30 years.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. I don't know. Maybe somebody can look that up.
Yeah. Anyway, Jesus just left the Jordan to go to the desert. So I'm sure he took a jug of water with him. But I don't know. Yeah, if somebody.
Hey, Jackie. Yeah, buddy.
I'm kind of thinking that, you know, the first mention of a 40 days fast with no water and food was with Moses when he was on the mountain with God. And he was up there for 40 days. He didn't have anything to eat or drink during that time. I'm kind of thinking that Jesus did the same thing.
Yeah, like Michael said, as far as in the New Testament, I don't know that it says that. I always assumed that he went out there without water and food.
I'm assuming Jesus is following the footsteps of Moses at this point.
Could be.
I've got myself a question here.
David mentioned that today, too, David. Dave, I asked David that same question, and he said Moses.
Did you ask him about Jesus? No. Okay.
He said he didn't know, but he did know that Moses
went for today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I went 7 days. What is that, Matt? What's up, bud? What does that mean? Hey, check it out.
Twice.
Huh?
Moses did that twice. Because he went up there the first time to get the tablets with the commandments on them, and then after he broke the commandments, he had to go back up there for another 40 days.
So that was back-to-back fasting?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I guess he beat that guy in China.
God didn't require Moses to fast. He just did. There's nothing that he was commanded to fast.
Yeah.
It was obviously a supernatural situation. And the Lord brought him up there and preserved his life. And if anybody else had even gone past that border near the bottom, they'd be killed. So the whole thing was supernatural up there.
The same would be
with Jesus, because the Holy Spirit led him in the wilderness for that.
Amen.
But the parable is different. I mean, the Moses represents, as it were, the old school, but Jesus was a completely different. That was a new covenant thing there.
Yeah, but the covenant wasn't established until after his death.
Right. But I mean, Jesus was, Paul is making a big distinction between Moses and Jesus.
Only through
the law. I'm thinking that Jesus fulfilled the law. That's why he did that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's what the deal is. The Lord told us through a word of knowledge that that's what he wanted us to do. And the benefits from doing that were a whole lot more beneficial to us than losing a little bit of flesh over 7 days, you know. And that's exactly what happened. People that did that will be in the bride. Yeah, Leon. You just muted yourself.
I was having a discussion with a guy. Okay. I was having a discussion with a guy about the fast. I'd seen him on Saturday when I was during the 7-day fast. I saw him on Saturday, you know, and I saw him again yesterday, and he was telling me that he had asked a couple of preachers about it and about the fast and if they'd ever heard of water, they never heard of it and so on and so forth. And I told him that Jesus did the fast and it was no water either. And he said, no, that's not true. And I said, sure it is. But anyway, he said, you look terrible. And I said, I felt terrible. I don't care, but, oh, that's bad for your health. God wouldn't do that. I said, well, maybe your God wouldn't, but mine would sustain me through that. That's why I'm asking these questions. That's what brought it up, was talking to this guy and him not believing him, saying, he's like your family or something. Ah, you can't do that. You're going to die.
Well, I felt like it at times, but no, we didn't. Yeah. What did the Lord say? Lord said in that, he said, don't you believe that I can sustain you?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Malcolm.
See, am I on now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, I get so fouled up in all this technology stuff. I was thinking about there's somebody that our family knew in California who, like I said previously, who went on a no food or water fast, and I don't know her circumstances. I think she was a student at one of the colleges I went to, but anyway, she just kept fasting until she died. And nobody could convince her to drink water. And like I said, I don't know the circumstances of that one. I have a cousin here locally who I didn't even know she was fasting. Her husband had died a few years earlier. He was actually my cousin. She married my cousin. But anyway, she fasted she didn't really talk to her family, her kids too much about it, but she went 40 days. Her son, I think, found her in the bathroom. She was getting a little incoherent near the end. He found her in the bathroom, having collapsed, and so they got her to the hospital. And the doctors there said that she was just either minutes or hours from completely losing her brain. But she still has brain damage. She's just not the same person anymore. And I don't know, I've never talked to her about what happened. Her family are very upset with what she did because they kind of have lost their mother because she can't remember a lot of things and, you know, some mental challenges there because of the past. So like I say, I don't know. Both these people are Christians, and I don't know the circumstances. It's just I think it's a good idea to know that the Lord wants you to do something. And I, you know, when this water fast came, you know, I asked for clarification, you know, to make sure it was water, you know, no water. I got that I got clarification on the fifth day, but I really felt kind of good about that because it was a command of the Lord, at least the way I understood it. And right in that command was, you know, I will take care of you. So for me, I was good with that. Now my relatives, I don't know if I should say that this year, but I might as well. I had one relative that threatened to call the Tennessee police and report what, you know, everybody was doing there about this no water fast. It was almost like a Jim Jones, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid thing for them. So,
well, apparently those people don't have any faith at all, do they?
I know, they all died, those Jim Jones people.
No, but I'm talking about the people that were talking to you. They don't have any faith
they thought UBM was a cult, you know, they had never heard of it before. So it was kind of...
Oh, okay,
you know,
so... yeah, okay, so heard of it, that's a cult.
Well, no, they went to the website and they went, what?
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, it was just, it's really good to have, you know, something from the Lord that, you know, this is what he wants you to do.
Well, that was the word of the Lord that we got. I mean, how much more word can you get, you know? When the Lord says he'll do this. Yeah, got many confirmations of it, many confirmations. And so that's why we did it. And we wanted everyone to partake of it that wanted to be in the bride. And I believe that God is doing it, you know, still, absolutely doing it now. Yeah, Judy. You did this. That means I want to say something. Okay. I'm just kidding. Okay, anybody else on fasting? Fasting with water, fasting with food, without food and water for 7 days. I don't know what the legal aspects of it are. Some people say it's 3 days that you can go without water. Some says seven. But you know, it depends on where you are. If you're out in the middle of the Sahara Desert, you know, it could be something else, naturally speaking. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, we, being as curious as we were, we looked that up after the fast.
well, sure, yeah.
From what we found, it was anywhere from 5 to 7 days you can live without food and water under the right circumstances. But also, another thing that we found out was, you know, if you lose more than 10% of your weight, like within a week, then, you know, you're going to be dead from their standard. And this is a little testimony of what the Lord did and how the Lord supplied. I lost about 17% of my weight in a week. In that week.
Are you still alive?
I'm still here talking to you.
Okay.
You know, that's the Lord completely, because, you know, when I first read that email, you know, about what the Lord wanted us to do, I knew instantly he's going to supply it. You know, he's going to keep us alive, even though, you know, the enemy was throwing thoughts in you, oh, you're going to die, oh, you're going to do this, oh, you know, this is going to happen, oh, this is going to happen. It's like, you know what? Heaven ain't bad. But I still ain't going to die. Because if the Lord said do this, he's not going to just throw you in the middle of a fire and let you burn. You know, he's going to fly.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I took it too. I said, well, if the Lord's going to declare it, then I can make it. When I saw the thing from Eve, you know, that the Lord said, I said, well, if he says it, I ain't worried about it. I'm just going to go ahead on and do it. Never even thought about it. Yeah, Judy.
Yeah, when I first learned of it, I thought, oh, I'm never going to make it because I'm supposed to have all these heart issues, you know, my son keeps saying about. But I haven't had any heart problems at all with the fast. And, I mean, I know it was the Lord because there's just is no way I could have done it without the Lord. I mean, absolutely not. And I am, this one's still a little bit hard for me too, but I just have one more day to go.
Amen. Well, we're doing it like Jesus did it, Judy. We're doing it for the brethren, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I'm doing it.
That's why we're doing it. We love the brethren. We want everybody to get in.
You know, if you were in the same position, how grateful would you be? And you know, I want to do anything I can do to help them.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'd give our life for them, wouldn't we, Judy?
Amen.
And God knows it sure feels like it's gone. But, yeah, it's good. That's good. That's what he's got us here for. We're servants. And we need to remember that all the time. Talking about, Judy, how you went through it. I saw Anna out there at Walmart on Sunday afternoon. I think it was Sunday. Was it Saturday? Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. It was Saturday afternoon. Bless her heart, she looked like a toothpick. And she was just moping along. I said, oh my goodness, we need to pray for her. So I went out in the parking lot and prayed for her. And then I saw Shalonda at the grocery store. She needed, the next day, she needed prayer, and I prayed for her, and I came back free, and she said, you look like you need prayer too. I said, go for it, girl. I sure do. So we just prayed for one another. Praise God. That's good, you know. But we all made it, and I praise God for it. I believe we're going to see some mighty fruit from it, some mighty fruit. You know those signs and wonders they talk about in the Bible? I believe we're going to see that. Go ahead, Malcolm.
One thing I really liked about the fast was that it was accelerated, because it can be like, you know, when you're just going without food, but drinking water, it can be like, I don't know. I have ended up with a lot of abdominal pain and whatnot, like about 2 weeks into a water-only fast. This time I didn't have that kind of pain. I did, near the end, I was having a hard time sleeping, but the first 2 days of the fast, I ended up running for exercise. that helped accelerate it for me, but I wasn't that sure, you know, what all was going to happen anyway, and I didn't actually realize, you know, if you're out there, and almost every day, at least the first few days, I was working pretty hard. I was really exerting myself, splitting wood, stacking wood, you know, doing all the regular stuff I have to do. So, but what I like about that is that with an accelerated fast, when your body's shutting down more quickly, you get to the point of being weak before the Lord more quickly, and then, I really liked. I shouldn't say I liked it, but it was, I felt like it was, especially on the last day, you know, on Sunday, at least that was my last day. I felt so weak. I felt like I couldn't even really read. I did
tried to read, but I was having a hard time, and I was having a hard time praying, and I just said, Lord, I'm really weak right now, and I can't seem to, I don't have much gumption to pray. You'll just have to remember all previous prayers and just answer them. It's like, I'm having a hard time functioning right now. Anyway, but it was just a real, I don't know. For me, it was just, it seemed very positive, you know, experience. And I felt like the Lord really, I was talking to some other folks, they really felt like they really, the Lord, through that weakness, really has, you know, they're, seems like more humble, more sensitive to spiritual things. I'm having some pretty neat things happening now that, with the Lord, that I'm really, really very happy about.
Can you tell us about them? Is it something that you?
I could. I feel like I've been lethargic as far as spiritual things. When I was younger, I was a teenager, I had a very close walk with the Lord, and the Lord was making arrangements for me to meet people and talk to them about the Lord. And it was just supernatural. I mean, when I was in Kashmir, this is the Dal Lake, if you've, any of you, those of you know about the Srinagar and Dal Lake and that area, it's just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous place, and they have a lot of houseboats on Dal Lake. Which are really very popular for people around the world to go to. But we had the storm that took place. I'm kind of giving you a little background here. They had a major rain storm that lasted for about a week or a week and a half. And my parents didn't have the money to pay for this very expensive houseboat. They'd saved up and planned, and we could afford maybe one or two nights on this houseboat, but that was it. We were out of there. Well, the owner, you know, kind of took pity on us, and we couldn't really go anywhere. The lake was flooding, and the water was getting higher and higher, but we didn't have the money to be on the houseboat. So he stuck us on this kind of island where the houseboat was kind of moored to. And the owner, we were stuck in this, you know, kind of it was a cement building. It wasn't like the houseboat where you have, and by the way, these houseboats are total service. I mean, you have people waiting on your every, you know, anything you want. They're waiting to, you know, supply your needs and whatever. It's just, it's quite a high life there, at least for some of the houseboats. But anyway, the owner who had started this whole business, he came in and wanted to talk. And so he ended up telling us the story as an orphan, and he hadn't, to my knowledge, he had never told any, he knew we were, you know, missionaries, you know, Christians, and he started telling us his story as an orphan of how he was so abused as a little kid on the streets, and his parents had died, and he just opened up, and I think it was because of my parents were willing to listen. It was like the Lord organized that whole storm, organized the situation, got us stranded there, and then this owner opened up about his, you know, how it's like he had a supernatural visitation that completely changed his life. And after that, you know, being thrown around as a kid on the street and abused and everything, he ended up being a very successful businessman in Srinagar. And he died about 11 years ago, and I don't know what happened with him, if he ever, I don't know. I just praying that the Lord used us in that situation. But anyway, at the end of all that, we finally were able to get a bus to get out of there because there were landslides because of the storm. So, I mean, Srinagar was totally locked in. The only way you could get out was to either hike, which is ridiculous, or you could fly out, but you couldn't take a bus. Because that was the only other way to get out. So finally, the landslides got cleared. So here we were at the bus station. I still remember it. I was thinking about it last night. all these people milling around, hundreds, probably thousands of soldiers from the Indian Army were milling around waiting to get on buses to get out of Srinagar and head down to the main, you know, India. And so somehow the Lord led me to one of those soldiers, and I think he was a Sikh. He had a turban on his head. And I started talking to him about the Lord, and he was very excited. You know, you just don't do that sometimes in these countries. But anyway, he actually gave his heart to the Lord right there in the middle of all these hundreds of soldiers, and decided to follow the Lord. And of course, then we parted ways. We got on our bus and we were gone. So I never saw him again. I keep praying for these people, you know, but that's kind of how the Lord was working with me back in those days when I was a kid. And I feel like I want to be back in the thick of things. So I'm talking to people. The Lord's leading me to people. And I'm useful in the kingdom rather than just being a hermit. Like I sometimes feel like I am. So, but anyway, I just feel like after this fast, it's like the Lord is just really drawing me very close to Him, and you know, I'm longing to get back into circulation with Him, and you know, be out there and talking to people. And so, that's my own experience. I know most of the rest of you are out there banging on doors and whatever else you're doing, but anyway. So,
amen. Well, that's what God wants. He wants us to draw us closer to Him. And if He succeeded in that, well, praise God, you know. And I believe He's done the same thing with everybody else, that He drew them closer to the Lord, and we're able to listen a lot more than we were before the fast, I think. All right. Go ahead, Malcolm. All right, anybody else on the spiritual aspects of a fast, of a tough fast? Okay. Is there any questions? Go ahead, Tim. You look like you fixed to say something. Say something about 30 minutes.
First thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I weaked out in the middle of the fast, and I didn't complete it. I went in with, you know, good expectations, but I never slowed down, and my body and, you know, got the best of my mind, and I didn't complete it. But I did notice that even after the first day, and especially on the second and third day, that my prayer life extended, you know, beyond its normal parameters. I was about situations that hadn't crossed my mind before to pray about, people I hadn't thought about in, you know, a long, long time that the Spirit was drawing me to pray about, and situations with people that I, you know, had been praying about that I hadn't thought about. And I think that, you know, just by denying self, it opened up my spirit to, you know, just broaden my horizons and made me, you know, go places I hadn't been. And it was really good for me, certainly, even to finish it. But it's kind of carried on even after. And so I did spend more time in the Word and more time praying. And all that is carried on. So I did get a lot of benefits from it, not as much as, you know, the completion, you know, which was a letdown to me, but I did feel like it was a real benefit, just even the half of the fast that I did. So just wanted to pass that along. It, you know,
amen.
It was good for what I did get out of it.
Amen. All right. Sue G, how did the fast benefit you, girl?
Well, right now I'm in the middle of I'm in the middle of this fast, and it's acting up on my body right now. I have a slight headache, and
and my stomach. I've been having to go to the bathroom. My stomach's acting up.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you want to keep it or you want us to pray it out of there?
Oh, pray it away. Thank you.
Okay. Amen. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that headache to go and the stomach upset go too. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that she's going from this point on, she's going to have a good fast the rest of the time. And we thank you for it, Father, that Sue is healed. She don't have to worry about it anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You believe that, Judy?
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Praise God.
Yeah, but what I appreciated about the fast, I mean, I never did a without water fast except for one day, and that was on a 3-day fast, and I did the last day without water. But I really felt so blessed being able to experience the Lord in a deeper way. I just felt like I'd hear from Him more. I felt like also I felt like He had delivered me from rejection, evil spirit of rejection, the first part of it. I mean, I had a really royal headache the first 3 days from caffeine withdrawal. Part of that was from that. But he just our relationship, I mean, I just felt like I could even just slightly experience what He dealt with, you know, even when He went on the cross, you know, to deny the self, to deny the flesh in such a strong way, you know, like He did. I mean, there's no comparison to what we did for 7 days, but you know, when He went on the cross, I mean, even in Garden of Gethsemane, He had to deny the flesh, say, not my will but yours, Lord, you know. So I mean, just to experience that relationship with Him in a stronger way, I was really impressed with. So I don't know.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. Amen. So in essence, the Lord just drew you closer to Him, and you feel a love for the brethren a little deeper than you did before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Barbara, what about you, girl?
Let me see. I did the fast, and I knew it was totally the Lord because I really never fasted that long before. And it actually went very well, except for, I didn't enjoy, like, no coffee, no drink or anything, but I can't say, I kept sipping on water. I didn't accomplish that. But I did do the fast, as far as, like, no food, no eating. And I didn't enjoy any drinks. I didn't drink no coffee, no tea. I just felt a little let down though that I sipped on water, just enough to wet my mouth. But still, it was putting water in my mouth. So I felt I let the Lord down. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought it went well for me, being that I never had done that before all week like that. I've never done it. It was always hard for just a couple days for me. But
your prayer life was
good. Yeah, my prayer life was good. I don't really know what all to say. I mean, I'm still seeking the Lord right now for some things, you know, for
Amen.
A deeper, but yeah, praying for others and everything was a blessing. And I prayed a lot in the spirit for lack of not sure what to pray in the natural. So I prayed a lot in the spirit.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm sure that went out. The Lord knows, you know, that went out for what needed to be go out for. So that was good there.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah,
hey,
so
Joe and Laura.
Pray for me that I would be able to do it without meth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Lord, we thank you that you're going to give her the fortitude to go ahead and finish what she starts in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for blessing Barbara and Bruce. In the name of Jesus. Hey, Joe and Nora, we had a time change. So we came on an hour earlier. That's okay. That's okay. You're fine. We'll forgive you this time. But I knew when you come in at 9 o'clock, I said, oh, they didn't know about the time zone. And you didn't. They do that over here in the States every now and then. I don't know why, because I hate it. I hate the change. But they do that.
It's our fault for not letting them know. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
It is. It's our fault. So it ain't your fault. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right, what y'all want to talk about? I really didn't have anything. I've been busy, busy, busy. So I didn't have anything. Something I looked at today was talking about the sons of God. I was in some verses that talked about that. Matter of fact, let me get a track quick. Talking about the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? What is a son of God? Psalms 82. Psalms 82 says here in the big book, verses, let's start out at 6. It says, I said, ye are gods, and all of you sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Well, in this one here, some of your Bibles, it may have God, you're sons of the Most High. Arise, O God, judge the earth. They've got it, a big G there. And I looked it up. That's actually supposed to be a small G. That's talking about God's people, the God in people. Arise, O God, judge the earth, man-child, for thou shalt inherit all the nations. And verse 7, and look at the, stuff is coming back to me right now, so you have to give me a little minute here. I said to your gods, and all of you sons of the Most High. Now, are we sons of the Most High? Well, Jesus called us that, didn't he? Jesus called us that. Nevertheless, ye shall die like men. That's the flesh in us dying like men. And fall like one of the princes. We got to go so Jesus can come up. And then we look over in, I'm going to jump around here a little bit. So in John chapter 10, and I'm just going to throw these out there so that we can get some kind of discussion here about the sons of men, sons of God. Here's what Jesus told us. He said in John chapter 10, verse 34. He said, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. So there's Jesus calling us sons of God. We all are God. We all are sons of God. How come we're sons of God? Because we've got Jesus living in us. Zechariah 12 and 8. Let's look at that one. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. These are all verses about the sons of God. That's who we are. We're sons of God. And there's many, many more verses upon us being the sons of God. Jesus called us that all in John and 1 John and all of that. Sons of God. So when somebody says that you're blaspheming when you say that you're a son of God, you just show them the scriptures and say, look, Jesus called us sons of God, just like he did back then. We are sons. So if we're sons of God, does that give us the same power as Jesus? That gives us the same power. And that's what I'm getting to. The same power as Jesus. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. So if that's the case, then as a son of God, I'm going to be walking like Jesus on it. Y'all going to be walking like Jesus over here. And with this plague coming up, that looks like it's going to be worldwide and it's going to be killing a bunch of folks, we're going to be walking like Jesus. Because I'm believing that every cell in my body is filled with the Holy Spirit. And if every cell in my body is filled with the Holy Spirit, somebody's going to get to see some signs and wonders, aren't they? And that's the same way with y'all. That's the same thing that y'all are going to be doing. You're going to be walking, talking a little. You're going to be walking, talking Jesus's on this earth, doing the things that Jesus did and the greater things. Because we are sons of the Most High. We don't have, our spiritual being doesn't have a beginning or an end, does it? Just like the Melchizedek priesthood. Jesus was a part of the Melchizedek priesthood. He didn't have a beginning or an end as a son of God. Now, son of man he did, didn't he? I do as a son of man, I do. But as a son of God, I don't have a beginning and I don't have an end. Because I'm eternally the same way. And y'all are too. We walk and talk just like Jesus. We do the same things that Jesus did. We see a need, we meet that need. Okay, I'm open for discussion now. I got it started.
In Hebrews, it was talking about, and he is bringing many sons to glory. That's the same thing there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like it says in Galatians 3:26, for ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Whew, glory to God. I'll tell you what, that puts joy in my heart. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one, Barbara. Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Well, in Romans, it doesn't mention being sons of God, but the probably half of Romans, it talks of, you know, compares the righteousness of the law versus the spirit. And studying that, and you can't get it in one reading or two readings. You got to go back and rehash it and reread it and stuff. But the sonship is implied to the righteousness and the benefits that Jesus had, you know, by our faith and our belief and accepting God's righteousness in our life. So that's a really good study for, you know, if you're looking for the benefits of sonship.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that. Yeah, Leon.
It does say in Romans 8:14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Yep.
So being led by the Spirit is a way you can tell that you're a son of God.
Amen.
Good thing to be in.
Yeah. That next verse too is part of it. For we receive not the spirit of bondage again into fear, but ye receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Who's our Father? Almighty God. that goes on. can I go on here?
Sure.
The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Praise be to God. And then on down to 19. Go ahead, Leon. Yeah, you go ahead.
I was just going to say that suffering with him is part of fasting that we just did.
Absolutely.
That's considered suffering with him. But we didn't just suffer with him. We suffered with him for a purpose, you know, to bring the many into the kingdom, to encourage the elect that's in false divinities or false denominations and stuff like that. So that was suffering for him or like him. So, go ahead. You want verse 19 you said?
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Oh, okay. For the earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God.
So why is the whole earth waiting on us? Because they're under the curse too, aren't they?
Right.
And because they're under the curse, they want these sons of God out there getting rid of this curse. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Praise God. That's awesome. That's some good verses there.
Well, verse 20 says, for the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God.
Ooh, there you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah, keep on going. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption to it, the redemption of our body. We all waiting on that, aren't we? For in hope were we saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopeth for that which he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, we ain't seeing that right now, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. We could go on and on and on there. But the sons of God, the whole creation is waiting on that manifestation, so they can get out from under the curse as well. Praise God. Okay, anybody else got a verse? Psalms 89. Let's see, I looked at 6 and 7. For who in the skies can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like unto the Lord? A God very terrible in the counsel of the Holy Ones, and to be feared above all them that are round about him. And then verse 19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy saints, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Ooh, who is that? I have exalted one chosen out of the people. That's the sons of God. Again, that's the sons of God. Praise God. Psalms is full of this stuff, y'all. 29, Psalms 29 and 1. I got the advantage on you. I can look this stuff up this afternoon. Look at Psalms 29 and verse 1, a psalm of David. Ascribe unto the Lord, O ye sons of the mighty. Ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Praise God. There it is again. I'll kind of wait on y'all a little bit, see if y'all come up with any. Job chapter 1, verse 6 is another one. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord that Satan also came among them. Sons of God. That's us folks. Here's another one, is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now, excuse me, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. That's us, as the Son of God. He's going to see us. And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, even as God is pure. He purifies himself. How does he do that? By renewing your mind with the Word of God. We get that Word in us that renews us. That gets the flesh out of us. That gets all of that junk out of us that God has been doing for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Praise God. And we're more in tune. We know what God wants. We know what a son of God is. A son of God is somebody that looks like Jesus. Talks like Jesus. And you can't talk like Jesus unless you know the Word, can you? Here's another one. Proverbs. Chapter 24. Verse 11. Deliver them that are carried away unto death. Who is that? That's the old flesh. And those that are ready to be slain, see that thou hold back.
What verse are you in?
I'm in verse 24 and 11. Verse 11. Deliver them that are carried away unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, see that thou hold back. Talking about killing the flesh. And making that son of God. That's getting a little deep. Okay, anybody else got anything on son of God? What it's like to be a son of God? Who is a son of God? Those that walk like Jesus. Kill the flesh.
I got a couple verses. I cheated. I did a search. On these
okay.
Stories.
That's okay.
Matthew 5:9. Want me to read it? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And we got Luke 20:36, but I'm going to go to that and read what 35 says first. Let me go there. Uh, Okay, let's go up a little further. This is the Sadducees. So we're going to start at 27. And there came to him a certain of the Sadducees. They say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote unto us that if a man's brother die, having a wife, and he be childless, and his brother should take the wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died childless, the second and the third took her, and likewise the seventh also left no children and died. And they're saying, afterwards, a woman also died. And they're saying, in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of them shall she be? For the seventh had her to wife. And Jesus said to him, or to them, the sons of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they that are accounted worthy attain to that world and the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given into marriage. For neither can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, and even Moses showed in the place concerning the bush, when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not a God of the dead, but the God of the living, for all live unto him. You're muted, Michael.
I know. Okay, I'm unmuted. Okay, good deal. Thank you, Lord. You know, David talks about, in Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus and how that there are 42 generations. And y'all remember that, talking about that? And then the 42nd generation, there's no name there. But that's 42nd generation. And the Lord told him that the 42nd generation was us. We're the last generation, the sons of God. It said that it says, Jacob begat Joseph and the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So if you follow that genealogy from Abraham to Joseph to there, and that Jesus was a virgin birth, and that Mary was with child of the Holy Spirit, so we see that Joseph didn't have anything to do, physically to do, with bringing Jesus forth. Joseph wasn't the father of his flesh. Mary was the mother of his flesh, but the Bible tells us that it's the seed of the woman that was going to bring forth the son who would crush the serpent's head. I'm getting off on something else here now. I want to show you something. God used the DNA from Mary to create the body of Jesus. That's the fleshly part of Jesus. He was the Son of God and, of course, the Son of Man. The Son of God came in a body that he called the Son of Man. And it says in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Which means that your natural creation has been born of your fleshly parents, but your spiritual creation came from God. Just like when God breathed into Adam the first time. The breath. That's the breath of life. That spiritual man in you came from God, but the carnal man was passed on by our parents. You know what Joseph did? He was the one that brought Jesus all of that knowledge. I'm going to mute you, Dave. You're making a little noise there. It's okay. Joseph taught Jesus everything he knew up until Joseph left. You know, we never hear a whole lot about him, but he was the spiritual authority in that family. He was the one that was that brought Jesus into the realm of the knowledge of the Bible and all the word stuff. Joseph was ordained of God to represent the Father in raising Jesus into the image of God. And that's what he did. Bible says, Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men in Luke chapter 2 and 52. So Joseph had something to do with that, didn't he? Now, he couldn't contribute any of his physical attributes in bringing forth Jesus, but he contributed the words and the actions into Jesus' life to train him up as the man of God. That's what he did. And in Hebrews, it says, a body didst thou prepare for me, Hebrews 10 and 5. And that appears to be Jesus speaking. The Son of God in heaven came down to inhabit a body that was brought forth through Mary, the virgin. But the lineage written is of Joseph. And it says that in Matthew 1 and 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. We said that a while ago. He didn't give Joseph any credit for the birth of Jesus, because Jesus was of a virgin birth. But he had something to do with bringing forth that new generation of man, David puts it. Because what he was sowing into the life of Jesus was the words and the actions of God himself. You know, even though he was the Son of God, even though he was the Son of Man, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in the womb, he still had to be raised up into the fullness of that image. Now, he didn't sin, because he overcame sin with each little trial that came to him. Okay, now getting back to us, Romans 9 and 8. That is, it is not the children of the flesh that are children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed. What does that mean? Children of the promise. That was the promise that was spoken to them, that put faith in their heart to receive the gift of God to be what they were not before, right? With all of us, that's the way salvation is. We speak those things that are not as though they were. It's God working in us to will and to do with his good pleasure, of his good pleasure. Mary was not, as some people say, the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus' flesh. You know, you got a whole denomination out there that calls Jesus' mother the mother of heaven or something like that. And it's just quite blasphemous. Mary would straighten them out real quick if she was here. What was sown in Christ was sent from God the Father. The Father sent his only begotten Son. It had nothing to do with, and was even in spite of Mary. God did all of this. He's the one that overshadowed her and brought Jesus into her life. She even had to receive salvation as far as that goes, didn't she? Just like everybody else. Anybody got anything they want to add to what we're talking about here? Just Jesus. And that's Jesus in us. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, Mary even says in Luke 1 that, that she says, God, my Savior, you know. And so she needed a Savior, too. She wasn't the Immaculate Conception.
No. No, absolutely not.
The only thing immaculate is the conception that she had. And it was, like you said, none of her doing. It was her overshadowed by God. She was blessed that she attained that. But
and she acknowledged that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah, like it says in the, like she said herself, all generations shall call me blessed.
Yeah. You know why she's blessed? Because she knew Jesus. She knew Jesus real good. But she knew him even better after the resurrection. Anybody can manifest bearing fruit as the Son of God if the seed is sown into her. And that's why it's necessary to read and study the Word of God for ourselves, you know. We manifest as the Son of God. When we run across those passages that empower us, and just believe that you can do it. We talked to David and I, I don't know if Kevin got it up yet, probably not until tomorrow. But David and I did a 2-hour broadcast yesterday that's going to be airing tomorrow on the miracles that we saw here, that we've seen here locally, that David and I experienced and other people in this fellowship have experienced. And and it's actually going to be added into a book. I don't know, Faith for All Things, I think is the name of the book. But we just spent 2 hours sitting there talking about the miracles that have happened to us just in the last 7 years. And it's amazing, you know. And that's just a tip of the iceberg. We gave the major ones, not the minor ones. You know, the more flamboyant ones, I guess. But all of them were from God, every one of them. And the Lord was teaching us along the way, don't put me in a box. If you put me in a box, that's where I'm going to stay, you know, in your life, talking about. So we can't put God in a box. Just believe if you have a problem that he can address it. And he will address it. Not that he can, but he will. And that's where he wants us as part of this bride makeup. He wants us to know and trust that anything we need, he's going to do it. A lot of us are believing for our family members. Don't look at what's going on in the natural. Just believe that God's doing it. And the same thing with whatever. You might have a physical ailment. Don't worry about that physical ailment. Give it to God. Say, God, you said, I believe in your word. I'm looking for you now. I can't do it. It's up to you. That's what you do. All of us are believing for something. God's going to just drop down. In a heartbeat of a second, I believe, and anoint us all with that anointing that's going to shoot our faith up through the roof. And we know from that point on, when we pray, that it's going to happen. And there'll be miracles, healings, deliverances that we never thought possible that we're going to see in just a little bit. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that people with diabetes, people with heart disease, people with, you know, you just name one. I don't care. Disease X. And if they believe the Lord Jesus Christ, that disease X ain't going to bother them. Just like John G. Lake when he walked through that bubonic plague that they had over in South Africa. They asked him, say, what, how in the world can you walk, did you do all of that without getting the plague? He said, it's called the spirit of the life of Jesus Christ in me. The spirit of the life of Christ in me is what did it. And all you got to remember is that it's God, it permeates your whole being. And you just remember, oh, I'm God, man. Just like David always talks about 1 Corinthians 3:18, look in the mirror and see Jesus when you go out in the morning and just remind yourself all day, that's who I am. Yes, God. I ain't got to worry about nothing. I'm going to go, somebody fix me to get healed, or somebody fix me to get delivered, or somebody fix me to get saved, glory to God. And Joe and Nora, y'all down there, don't you worry one bit about them folks out there running around killing folks. Ain't going to happen to y'all. I'm telling you, you got the power of God on you. You got the biggest angels around. They come around your house and say, oh, we ain't going in there. Mm-mm. There's some big folks in there. That's what happened. I remember reading about George Fox. I got a little time, and I've been reading a little bit about him. That man was phenomenal. He'd walk into a town, and he'd go, he called the church that houses there. They had the big steeple. He called them steeple houses. But he'd go in there and tell them, this ain't the church. The church is you, folks. You know? And God wants us to walk in sanctification and all that stuff. And all them people would get mad at him. But they couldn't do nothing because they had the power of God on him. The preacher would just go hide. That was the preacher of that church or that steeple house he called. They'd go hide. The power of God was so strong that they knew that they couldn't buck that man because he had God behind him. Joe and Nora, that's where you are right now. You've got God behind you. We've got God behind us. We don't have to worry about no plague. Come on now. What's a little old plague in God's book? Ain't nothing. We walk through there touching folks, jumping out, hollering Jesus. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Leo.
I got a good verse for everybody. It's 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Peter says, Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, if that's not a definition of the sons of God, I don't know what is.
I believe it is. Thank you, Lord.
Well, that divine nature is all those things you just talked about.
Yep.
Michael. And yep. It's gotten through the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of
Amen.
God.
Amen. And those who poo-paw that, verse 9, for he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what's near, having forgotten the cleansing from his own sin. Go ahead, Tim.
Along with what Leon said there, if you go to, you know, John 5:19, it's after you heal the guy on the Sabbath, and you put in sons instead of son, you read Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, the sons can do nothing except what they see the Father doing. For whatsoever doeth, the sons also do in a like manner. So that would be us through adoption, what we do what the Father shows us.
Amen. Once you go down to 20, he talks about being the greater works too. So the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. Jesus told us we're going to do that. And he's talking about us here now. Not talking just about Jesus. He's talking about us. Amen. Well, okay. We're kind of winding down here. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about Thursday night? We can talk about food and drink if you like.
No, you can't do that till after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, bud.
Don't be eating no steak or anything while you're on.
I'm going to have me a big old orange. Always good.
I'll be eating for you on Saturday.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have one Saturday evening, a big old hamburger.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. Is there a subject for Thursday night? Has anybody got one? Well, let's just continue on talking about the sons of God. Y'all looking, you know, not just the ones that says sons of God, but those that insinuate that as well. And we'll kind of get some more into this if y'all like for Thursday night.
That kind of fall into maybe a little bit with what we're doing as the bride to try to intercede yeah. for the rest of the church.
Yeah, yeah, we can pull that in there too. Matter of fact, you know, we can do all of that.
A little bit of Esther there.
Yep. Yeah, some Esther. What's the other one? Ruth. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests for me? Close out. Well, Father, Lord, I just thank you that you are making these all of us sons of God, that you're putting us all into that category, Lord, because of our faith and our trust in you, Lord. We're trusting you to bring us into that spearhead ministry called the bride that's going to teach all the others out there, Lord, what's going on and the truth of the gospel. Father, we just call to the north, we call to the south, the east, and the west, and all points in between. Those that are your chosen to come out and separate yourself from the apostate religion in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that it's being done now, that your angels have gone forth. And they're pulling them out by the droves, Lord. They're getting ready for this great revival that's fixing to happen. And Lord, we thank you for your anointing. When that does happen, we thank you, Father, that the anointing all over this world is going to drop down. And the people that you have chosen to bring this revelation out will be heading out, Lord, and doing the work that you've called us to do, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you for your protection, your Passover protection for those that have sacrificed, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to protect us and give us a good night's sleep tonight. That when we wake up in the morning, we're still going to hunger after you, Lord. We're still going to want to get right next to you, Lord. We want to hear every breath that you speak to us, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus for everybody here, that you speak to us in a way that we all understand. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we'll see y'all again Thursday night. Amen.